Wow, I love hearing you sing. That's awesome. Yeah, good songs. I think we ought to sing again. Wow. Amen. Today we're in Psalm 19, and our scripture reading is going to be the entire psalm, although we're only going to do 6 verses today. I didn't want to rush through the whole psalm because it's just that good. But I did want us to get the whole of the flow of the psalm. So we'll be in Psalm 19. You can follow along up on the screen, or if you have, you have a copy in your bulletin of the scriptures, whatever you want to do. So we'll be reading Psalm 19 all the way to the end, verses 4 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of, and in the Hebrew, the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the Lord's reading of his word bless our hearts today. Father, wow, what a psalm. You, the creator, and then giving us more revelation of your word, and then the heart cry. May I bow in your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be pleasing in the sight of the creator, the one who revealed his words, which is salvation is found. So our prayer today, Lord, is to speak as your servants are listening in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you a question today. How do people know you? If they thought of you, what would they think of? What would your life and your words reveal to others? They see you at work. They see you in your neighborhood. They see you in your house. They see you in your leisurely activities. And they observe you. What would your life say? Let me ask you this. If you went up to your children and said to them, Susie, what's most important to Daddy? What would your child say? That'd be a scary question to ask, wouldn't it? Or Joey? Why is it always Susie and Joey? But anyway, Joey, as you look at me, what do you think is the most important thing in my life? Wow. That might show what we're really revealing as to who we are. What would our coworkers say, our children, our husband, our wife, our neighbors, our family members? What are we saying in our life that they would say, this is what's most important? By looking at us and observing us every day, what message are we projecting? We were talking about a lady in our church years ago. And she was known as Grumpy. She just was Grumpy. It was just Grumpy, Grumpy, Grumpy. There was 8 dwarfs, and one of them was there also? Anyway, I digress. Do you know God wants to be known? God wants to be known, and he has projected himself in a couple of different ways. Today we're going to see he has projected himself in his creation. And it is an amazing thing God did in his creation, just kind of crying out, know me, see me. This is who I am. This is what reveals to my creation what's important to me and who I am. An amazing thing to draw people to himself. Psalm 19, though, gives us another aspect, and that's the word that God gave us, which we need also. We won't get to that today. But all of these involve his glory, and I think the rightful response is in verse 14, is to bow down before this glory. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, the Creator and the one who gave me his word so that I can know him even deeper. And in his word we find his son Jesus. O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Francis Schaeffer said this, something existed before creation, and that something was personal and not static. The Father loved the Son. There was a plan. There was communication. And promises were made prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth. Isn't that a mind-boggling thought? There's nothing. There's no stars, there's no earth, there's no sun, there's absolutely nothing but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And they were perfectly, harmoniously in love with each other, a holy, pure love, and perfectly content to have that. Yet the love within them decided, before he ever created, to do what we have today. Of course, man ruined it. And there were plans made. There was communication. Listen to some of these verses that talk about that. Now, Genesis says in the beginning, correct? But there was much more than that in our beginning. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before God brought the mountains, before you ever formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In John 17, Jesus said, I desire to have the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. Jesus wanted to go back the way it was. John 17, 5, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before this world ever existed. Ephesians 4, 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1, 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in the last times for us, talking about Jesus. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God who never lies promised before the ages began. 2 Timothy 1, 9, he called us with a holy calling, not because of works we did, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So all of this was going on before God spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it was. All of this was going on before there ever was anything. And then God decided to do two things. To show his glory, first in his creation, and secondly in his word. I want people to know who I am in my creation, but then I'm going to give them more information in my word given to the Jewish people. They recorded it, wrote it down, preserved it. We just sang about it, and we have it today. Now, I want you to see my whole outline of this psalm so you can see where David is going. First of all, we're going to see today, see my glory. Then verses 7 to 11, I want you to know my glory. And then 12 to 14, you need to bow down before my glory. So today we're just going to see my glory, verses 1 to 6. So glance down at your scriptures in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. And notice again verse 1. The heavens declare the glory. So right away the psalmist says, something is telling God's glory. Something is saying something to his creation, and God decided to put the heavens in place and the planets and the stars and everything we can think of so that we could see his glory. Someone described glory as this. It's God's intrinsic dignity and worth and the external and tangible manifestation of that worth, which would be his creation. He is one who is honorable, impressive, and worthy of respect. That is glory. God is infinitely and perfectly honorable, impressive, and worthy of respect. So he says we can see this just by looking at the stars and the sky and the sun and the moon and all of his creation. And this is only his glory. No one else is supposed to get it. Not me, Not you, not the moon. Many religions worship the sun. They worship the moon. Romans 1 says they decided not to worship the Creator. They began to worship His creation. Isaiah put it this way, "Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk in it, I am the Lord, Yahweh. This is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." Wow. This is my glory. And some people say, well, God's pretty selfish, isn't he? He just want everything to for his glory? Yes. Anything else other than that, because he is holy and worthy of it, is idolatry and sin and horrible. It is right and perfect and true. He has to be worshipped alone. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, twice I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. So he says, in the heavens, they tell of my wonderful perfectness, my power, my majesty, my holiness, my awesomeness. I am God and you can see my glory. So verse 1, God reveals that in his creation, they tell his glory. The heavens tell of the glory of God. Look what else he says. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. His handiwork. You know, we might see something somebody does and say, oh, that's so-and-so's handiwork. Now, God does not have hands, but it's so we can understand it. The sky above publishes, declares, it proclaims his handiwork. He made it, as it were, with his own hands. So when you go outside, as I was driving in today, it was just like a beautiful blue sky. And as you see the clouds and the sun and the rays of the sun and feel its heat, you see God's amazing handiwork. The trees and the birds and all that, all of those things, although the psalmist is just focusing on the sky in verse 19. Have you ever had your children come up to you and give you something they made with their hands? We need like 30 refrigerators, don't we, to put them all on there? Cha-ching, cha-ching, and magnets, you know? And there's just something about your kids come and they hand you something. Now, you know that a lot of times it's just pretty, you know, messed up. It ain't that. But to you, this is awesome, you know? This is their handiwork. So what do we do with it? We display it. We put it on the refrigerator. We might take a picture of it. We keep it in a box for safekeeping. Or we just want to display it. God says, here's my handiwork, and I want you to see it, and I want you to display it. Or I'm displaying it for you, rather. Wow. It's amazing. Spurgeon said this, in the expanse above, oh, this is really good. In the expanse above us, God flies, as it were, his starry flag to show that the king is at home. That is awesome. I wish I could think of stuff like that. The sky is God's flag that says the king is home. He is home, and he is not puny, and he's not little. And I know all of us at times treat God as if he's this puny little God who is out of control. And so we worry and we fret and we think he can't take care of us. And God says, look above. My flag is flying, and it doesn't say Chicago Cubs World Series champion. It says King of Kings. It says God the Creator, Yahweh the Creator. Calvin said it openly bears testimony that they have not been put together by chance, but were wonderfully created by the supreme architect. It just didn't show up one day that here's a dog bouncing around barking. The supreme architect in his mind and in his infinite wisdom and ability designed all of that. It's amazing. And he can put in one mountain lion all kinds of, and I don't know the big fancy words, but when that mountain lion goes into a cold region, it's already in that mountain lion to grow longer hair. It's absolutely fascinating what God did. And notice verse 2. Day to day pours out speech. Wow. Someone said, as if one day took up the story where the other day left off, each night passed over the wondrous tale to the next. Day after day and day to night and day to night, it just keeps saying, look at me, here I am, I'm big, I'm awesome, I'm powerful, I am God. The king is at home. This is my flag, this is my testimony. I am letting you know, I want you to know who I am. I am not a rock that was carved into an image. I am not a totem pole. I am not the moon. I am not the sun. But I put those there so that you can give me glory day unto day. In fact, did you see that word there where it says pours out? In the ESV, it's pours out. This is an interesting Hebrew word. It means to flow to spring, to bubble up, and this is my favorite, to belch forth. Now, you know what that means, right? It's a powerful, I won't do it, but that's what the Hebrew word means. It's just a powerful pouring out. It's not a little, you know, you're patting the baby on the back. It's a big, you know, when the baby finally does the big burp like you want, you go, oh, all right, that's awesome. It just, thank you. It just, that's what this word means. To emit, to give forth a release. So notice what it does. It gushes out speech and knowledge in verse 2. What kind of speech and what kind of knowledge? That God's glory is being revealed. So we learned that we have not been given a puny, frail, weak, pint-sized display, but a display that is gushing forth, belching forth, continually shouting, see me. Wow, that's amazing. You see, sometimes we want to hide so nobody sees us. Now, there are times when we shouldn't be seen. Sometimes we don't want anybody to know anything about us, not God. See me over and over. See me. And I probably shared this before, but sometimes I'd get called out at 2 or 3 in the morning to go fuel an airplane. And I would get the truck up there waiting for the plane. And I would get on top of the fuel truck. And I would lay on the top and just look at the Florida sky. And you're at the airport, so there's not anything around you. And you can just see the stars. It's like, man, that's amazing. Why am I worried about this, 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 and this? See me. Those are my stars. And was it Isaiah that said he knows everyone by name? Go out tonight and start naming the stars. Now, I know you can get on that one website and buy a star for your wife, right? But, you know, it's God's star, and he knows them by name. Do you ever go to the zoo? I'll tell you, I cannot go to the zoo and see all of those amazing animals, all the amazing variety and colors and differences and similarities and the different shapes and the power of smell. I kid you not. One day I was in the backyard with my dog, and I could see Kurt and Whitney's maroon Suburban getting ready to pull in, and immediately my dog started barking, and he knew somebody was here. He just developed that over 1 million years, I guess. It's amazing, the power of smell. And they can be rooting around and smelling, and sure enough, they find that half cookie that the kid left under the couch that you don't know there, so like months later, and it turns green. I hold my dog up over water, and he starts dog paddling. Why does he do that? Because I taught him. I went over the sink one day, and I said, all right, when I turn the water, I want you to put one arm up. Or they don't have an arm. One, what do they have? Leg. And one, no, a paw. God just put that in him. See me. So when you go to the zoo and you look outside, it's God saying, see me. When I see a spider web on my porch and so tiny, but in that tiny spider is a heart. I guess they have a heart, blood. You squish them, it's red and orange and sometimes, you know, green. So even in the tiny, minute things, God is saying, see me, see me. Now look at verse 3. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. In other words, there is no audible voice. The heavens cry out without saying a word. Isn't that amazing? There is no audible voice, but it speaks loud. It's not the words that men use. Someone said they are silent, speechless witnesses, uttering no sound, but yet speaking aloud. Another scholar said that there's a language barrier all over the world. The difference of languages is a barrier which prevents different nations from maintaining mutual intercourse with one another. And it makes him who in his own country is distinguished for his eloquence, when he comes into a foreign country, either dumb or, if he attempts to speak, savage. And even if a man could speak all languages, he could not speak to a Grecian and a Roman at the same time. For as soon as he began to direct his discourse to the one, the other would cease to understand him. But God's creation speaks without any words to Germans and Russians and Americans and whomever. All kinds of languages. There is no words, but it speaks loudly. Spurgeon went on to say, sun, moon, and stars are God's traveling preachers. That's pretty good. Now look at verse 4. Their voice goes out through all the earth. Isn't that something? I'm speaking today, but there's only so many people here hearing me. And maybe on the internet, a few more might listen. But God's "see me and see my glory" goes out through the whole earth, and those words to the end of the world. Wow. So here's the deal. Men and women may avoid human preachers. They may never read the inspired pages of Scripture. They may refuse to listen to you when you try to share Christ with them. They may take your gospel tract and throw it in the garbage. But they cannot avoid the silent witness of God's glory. They cannot avoid it. Now, here's a truth you have to grasp that you may not like. But that's never stopped me before, so I'm not going to stop now. Listen to this carefully. More revelation is needed to be saved, right? The beautiful sky does not tell us that a man named Jesus Christ, who is a God-man, shed his blood and God's the Father's wrath was put upon him. He died and was buried and rose again. We need more, and that's the rest of the song. But God's silent speech that goes throughout the entire world is enough to condemn every single person. Did you grab that? Therefore, nobody's without excuse. Even if they never hear of the God-man Jesus. You say, well, I don't think that's very fair. Well, we don't have a flag floating in the heaven that says the king is at home, right? So let's prove that from Scripture. This revelation where God says, see me and see my glory, is enough to condemn men. Listen to this, Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness hold down the truth. Now listen, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. See me, see me, see me. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived by all of creation ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Everybody is condemned simply by knowing the power of God's glory in creation. Romans chapter 10, verse 18, when he's talking about the gospel coming. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. God's glory is known to all the earth. Acts chapter 14. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself a witness without a witness. What's the witness? He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and goodness. Here's my witness, God says. My creation, I cause it to rain. I grow the plants and the cucumbers and the turnips and everything else. I give you food. So over and over and over, the scriptures say, God shows his glory, and that is enough to condemn every single person. Because they can perceive there is deity, there is a God. Now, let's read on. Verse 4b. He starts talking about that big bright ball in the air. In them, in his heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Wow. So David is drawn to the sun, that big, glowing, burning, whatever that is up there. You know the sun is 330,000 times larger than the earth? I can't fathom that. That's beyond my mathematical brain. 1 million earths could fit inside the sun. 1 million of us. And we think we're pretty big, don't we? The sun is almost a perfect sphere. It is the largest perfect sphere ever observed in nature. And I saw this one picture, like an animated picture, of all the planets and how they revolve around the sun. And I thought, what a picture of how it's supposed to be in our life. The sun, S-O-N, glowing bright glory, Jesus, is in the middle, and everything is supposed to revolve around him.
What a wonderful picture, even in the sky. And notice what it says here. It's hidden at night. It goes in like as a tent, and it comes out. It's hidden at night, but it comes out gloriously like a bridegroom getting ready to be married. I looked good one day of my life is when I was getting married. My white tuxedo, you know. I think everybody ought to wear a tuxedo once a year. But back then in Bible days, man, this was big deal when you got married. I mean, the bridegroom coming out and everything that he could ever want. And he comes out gloriously to take his bride. And there's tons of people following him. It's an amazing thing when you study the Hebrew wedding. The Son, God's Son, comes out every day like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. And notice, like a strong man runs its course with joy. It goes from one end of the earth to the other. And I know about the rotation and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it goes there quickly and speedily. And its heat travels with great speed. It touches everything. Even a blind person can feel the heat and know that there's a power bigger than him. It's extraordinary. I like again what Spurgeon said. But all the sun's glory is but the glory of God. Even the sun shines in light borrowed from the great Father of lights. Isn't that great? Even this amazing sun borrows its light from God the Father, who says, "See me, see me. I am big. I am powerful. This is my awesome glory." Wow. Nothing is hidden from its heat. That is unbelievable. How do you just speak and there's a sun? Go home today and try to speak and a marshmallow appear on your table. Just try a marshmallow. Wow. And I picture David, who spent a lot of time outside, right? A shepherd boy. Many nights outside just looking up at the stars and, wow, that's amazing. God, you created that. It's amazing how much the Bible writers talk about creation. It's amazing. So there's the first six verses. And he's saying, God is saying, see me. This is my general revelation. And we're going to get deeper next week in the next part. But I just thought of three quick conclusions here of part one. The first one, be thankful that God has revealed his glory. Be thankful that this amazing God put that sun up there and the beauty of the clouds and the ocean and the mountains and the birds and all of that. Be thankful that we have a God who says, I want you to know me. Because he has every right to say, you're a sinner, you can't know me. David also wrote these words in Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? Wow. This great God, holy and pure and beyond human comprehension, has revealed his glory and he shouts as loud as he can, here I am. Look at me, look at me, look at me. See me, see me, see me. It ought to cause us to be humbled. Wow. Why are you mindful of me? Do you ever start thinking you're really big stuff? We all do, don't we? I am really big stuff. You know? Look what I can do. I don't think anybody can do what I can do any better than I can do. Anything you can do, I can do better. Right? Isn't that what the song says? I mean, sometimes we really begin to think we are really big stuff. And maybe we look at others and say, well, I'd never do that. Or I can't believe they did that. If you know your Bible, you might very well know true. You just may do that. And we begin to think that we got it together, you know? Just go out and look at, well, don't look at the sun. You know, kind of you kind of see it, but don't look directly into it. What is this eclipse coming in a few weeks? The whole world's abuzz about it. And here's God's creation, just doing its thing. Wow. You ever watch some of those nature shows on the television? Oh, isn't it amazing? It's amazing. This was one about this fox. There's like tons of snow. And this fox is on top of the snow. And I don't know what he's going for, but there's something way down deep. I don't know if it's a rat or a snake or whatever. And he just starts jumping. You ever see that? You can't see it, but he knows it's there. And you look at that and go, wow. And I go, wow, God did that. But what's the British announcer say on the video? It took millions and billions of years for nature to do this. Or whatever. That wasn't British, but I don't know what that was. But it just didn't come out right. And why? Because what they're saying is there is no God. It's just amazing to see that. And God says, see me. And man says, no, we don't want to. We need to be thankful. God said, here I am. And of course, with further revelation, we know that he loves us. In Acts chapter 14, they tried to worship Paul. And men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news. That you should turn from these vain things to a living God. And isn't it amazing, when he's ready to tell them the gospel, how does he describe the living God? Who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Because they were worshiping false gods. And he's bringing them the true God. We need to worship the living God. And who is the ultimate expression of the living God? His son, Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. I and the Father are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 1, he created all things. All things consist and are there for him. Be thankful he's revealed his glory, and he's especially revealed who he is in his son, Jesus Christ. And of course, his son came and revealed more to us about this Creator's love for us, that he would give us his son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sin. And knowing that, we actually killed Jesus, even though it was by God's foreordained plan before the foundation of the world and all that planning was going on. Amazing love. We're going to sing Amazing Grace here in just a minute. Wow, amazing grace. Be thankful God has revealed his glory. Because if God has not revealed himself to us, we will spend an eternity burning in our sin in the lake of fire. So when you go outside tonight or today and you see God's beautiful creation, say, thank you, God, for saying, here I am, here I am, here I am. See me, and for touching my heart. Secondly, be burdened that people are condemned by God's glory. Again, Romans 1 says, they are without excuse. They're without excuse. Isaiah said this in chapter 40. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Right there, they should have known it wasn't flat. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. So if you begin thinking you're really cool, you got it, you know, you're it. God says, you're just like a grasshopper. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Wow. You ever have to put a bed sheet on your bed? You know, your wife washed the, what do you call those, linens? Is that what you call them? Whatever. I can't. You know what I'm talking about. Sheets. You sleep on them. You know, and she forgets she cleaned them and she's ready to go to bed, and you go and the bed has to be made. One of my pet peeves, that I'll get that in there. But you take that big sheet and what do you do? Whoosh, lay that sucker on there. Can you imagine? God just went, whoosh. Wow. Amazing. He sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants to him are like grasshoppers. Isaiah's trying to figure out, how can I describe us compared to God? We're grasshoppers. Stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He spreads them like a tent to dwell in. But notice what else the Creator does. He brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Rulers and princes and presidents and kings and nations think they are so big, and God just blows on them and they fall away. And this tells me he is holy, he is powerful, and he will judge the condemned who are condemned by enough evidence of creation. And he raised Jesus to prove it, because Jesus is the appointed one to judge the nations. But you know what? We shouldn't be happy about this. We're thankful for God's glory and his plan, but we ought to be burdened. Burdened that people are condemned by God's glory. And we know they need more information, so we ought to be the ones that try to tell them the gospel truth from the Creator. So we need to be burdened for people. And lastly, we need to be trusting that God's glory will take care of you. We sing that old hymn. Let's see. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. That's close. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Sometimes we don't sing that, do we? We think God will take care of everybody else, but not us. But what a six great verses that tell us how big our God is. That he says, see me, I am big and powerful. Listen to Psalm 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. Now, what do you think he put next? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So go outside and pick up some dirt and put your eyes up to the heavens and say, this is the God who my help comes from. And when you begin to worry and begin to fall apart and you begin to just lose it, you need to go out and look at his creation and say what the psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord. And God can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and he can cause us to suffer for a long time, a lot of years, but the help is coming. And it was a joyous thing for the psalmist. My help comes from the Lord. Your help does not come from me. My job is to direct you to the Creator, to the Savior who came from the Creator. And by the way, the Savior is also the Creator. Colossians 1:16. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And what do you think the psalmist said after that? Who made heaven and earth. Isn't that something? How over and over the Bible writers wanted God's people to know, directed by the Spirit of God, that he is big and he sees and he listens and he knows. He cannot be fooled. He is never caught off guard. Whoever's bothering you at work, whoever's bothering you, whatever, who's ever causing pain and heartache and toil, whatever you're going through, he knows, he sees, he hears, he's planned, he can handle it, and it is for your good and his glory. So, we need to be thankful, we need to be burdened, and we need to be trusting that God will take care of us. Listen lastly to Isaiah 40. You got to go to these verses, right? You can't pass up Isaiah 40. Wow. Verses 25 to 31. God is speaking. Isaiah is writing it down. He said, to whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. Wow. I think Isaiah knew the Psalms. Same thing. He says, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes off out of your computer. Get your eyes out of your social media. Get your eyes out of your problems. Lift them up on high. Now, I'm yelling because I'm excited. I'm not mad at you. Okay. What a great counsel. Sometimes it's, I guess, a curse to have to live in the city, isn't it? Because you can go outside and sometimes things are in the way and street lights and all that kind of stuff. And hey, go drive somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Have plenty of gas. And just get out and look. Lift up your eyes on high and see. And then he says, ask yourself a question. Where'd this come from? Who created these? And then he goes on to say, I'll tell you who created them. He who brings out their host, that's the stars, by number, calling them all by name. We were talking earlier to somebody how, you know, you try to call your kids names and you say the wrong one. I'm always doing that. Just go through the list. Just go through the list, and the dog and the cat might be in there too. You'll eventually get them. He brings out, and how many stars are there? Innumerable. And by the way, what we can see, there's more to this than where we are, right? They are constantly getting out further going, wow, look what we find. The whole time God's going, see me. I allowed your scientists to make that telescope so you could see more of me. I call them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power. Not one of them is missing. God does not wake up because he doesn't sleep or slumber, but let's just say he did. God doesn't get up and go, where is Arctolumenus? Whatever he named that star. Anybody know where he is?
No, they're all right where he put them.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, that's my people? Why is my people saying this? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God.
What?
But now listen to this. Haven't you known and haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. And here it is again. The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. Can I ask an honest question today? Are you spiritually faint here today? Christians get faint all the time. They get weak in their faith. They walk around like weaklings, and we don't have any power, and we walk around, woe is me. And I don't say that critically because it happens to me. But are you here today? And then we go searching. We want to buy something to get that makes us feel happy for a few days. We want to eat something that makes us feel happy for a few hours. We want to change the furniture. There's nothing wrong with changing the furniture. But we try to do all kinds of things. Alcohol, drugs, just do something to make me feel good. Because we're faint. But look what this says. He never faints, and he gives power to the faint. Because there are times that we feel like fainting. And we all know this, life hurts, right? I look out all over you and I know your lives and I know you've gone through hurt. I know some of you have gone through some immense hurt. Standing by a casket or being disappointed or betrayed, and we could just go down the list. And there are times when we need power. He gives power to the faint. Wow. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. When you get to the point where you say, I cannot make it another day, don't go do a bunch of stuff that only helps temporarily. Go to the Creator and go outside and lift up your eyes that says, see me, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. I'm the one that gives you power. Then he goes on to say, young people will faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. Happens, doesn't it? You know there's a three-letter word in the Bible that's so awesome? B-U-T. Young men fall. Youths faint and weary. But they who wait, another Hebrew word for trust, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now listen, it may not happen overnight. Right? It may not happen overnight. God doesn't always and zap you. It's growing daily, steadily. But he is the God that renews your strength. And we'll find out next week, it is the scriptures that revives your soul. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You ever seen a bird has huge wings fly? We had a hawk in our backyard, and Abby was there yesterday, and she said, look at that hawk over there in the neighbor's yard. And that guy flies around our house all the time. And when he does, his wings open up, it's like, wow. Amazing. You can mount up with wings like eagles. And you shall run and not be weary. And you shall walk and not faint. In other words, you will be on God's course for your life. And you'll have the strength you need and the power you need because you lifted up your eyes and he said, here I am. And you said, oh, I'm so thankful. There you are. I can't go on another day without you. Wow, amazing. So let me ask you this before we pray. What season has God brought you to right now? What season are you in right now? What would be your answer? Heartache? You're disillusioned? Confused? Angry? You know you are spiritually empty right now. You don't open God's book. You don't pray. You don't have a tenderness. When we sing these songs, there's nothing inside you that churns. And maybe you're today spiritually empty, and maybe you don't even care. Wow, you better get on your knees and say, God, I need help. And God is saying the whole time, here I am. See me. See me. See me. Wow. Father, amazing. Just six verses of this psalm.
How great it is to know you're a God that says, here I am. I want you to know me. See me. See me. And it's amazing that you, this big, amazing, holy God, condescended down to us in the person of your Son, died on a cross, a wicked, cruel death, bore the sin of man, that we could know you even greater and be redeemed and rescued and saved. Lord, if there's anyone here today and they say, that's me, I'm destitute. I'm so spiritually empty. I pray that even the knowledge of these six verses would give joy and encouragement and a reviving of the soul. May there be confession and repentance. May there be discipline in actions of being in your word and praying. God, if there is a soul here trodden down today by the burdens and cares of life, and they've really thought, as we've seen in other Psalms, God, where are you? You've forgotten me. Remind them today by your Spirit that you are present and you give power to the faint. So God, sweep through the folks you've brought here today and take these few words today to each and every individual heart and revive the soul. Revive the soul. In Christ's name.